to Your Good Health Radio, brought to you by Choose for Health. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and your host, Dr. David Friedman.
Did you ever wonder what causes a heart attack? Is it high cholesterol, bad eating habits, obesity? Our next guest is a board certified in anatomic and clinical pathology and hematology, and he's authored numerous peer-reviewed publications. He's a sought-after international public speaker and prominent health expert with over 30 years of experience. He joins us today to share what makes us vulnerable to having a heart attack and how we can prevent becoming a victim. Welcome to the show, Dr. Douglas Harrington. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Dr. Harrington, welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
Now,
a common term often used to describe cigarette smokers and obese, unhealthy eaters is a heart attack waiting to happen. Share with us the other side of the coin, those seemingly healthy people that suffer a heart attack at age 50. How much of this is hereditary, and what's your opinion on that?
Well, you know, there have been a lot of studies that have tried to identify what the genetic contribution to heart risk is, and
right.
Interestingly, they've been somewhat disappointing, because it turns out that lifestyle, there is a 32-nation study that was published a number of years back that showed that 90% of heart disease was due to lifestyle, and by that we mean things like smoking and eating improperly and not exercising and that sort of thing, and that's good news and bad news. They also did some twin studies where they had identical twins who supposedly have the same DNA, and they showed that when they lived in different environments and had different lifestyles, their heart risk was different. And so what that means is, since the purpose of this show is to try and teach people how to prevent heart disease and not develop the disease in the first place, it means that individuals actually have control over their fate if they're willing to take the step to lead a heart healthy lifestyle, and they can
right.
actually prevent that. So genetics is important, but it's not the whole story, you know.
Right. What's your opinion on the importance of exercise? I remember a guy named Jim Fix, who was credited with helping start America's fitness revolution, and he died of a heart attack after his morning run, and we later learned his diet was so awful. Share your thoughts on people that think exercise keeps their heart healthy, and if they do anything else, so what? They're exercising.
Right. Well, you know, athletes dropping dead, Frank Shorter is another example, who was running, and there are numerous examples of people who looked healthy but dropped dead of a heart attack. Part of the problem is that people think that the most common cause of a heart attack is narrowing of the arteries,
mm-hmm.
and you become symptomatic. But interestingly, 75% of all heart attacks are caused by something called soft plaque rupture, which
right.
does not restrict blood flow, but when it pops, it causes a blood clot. And that's an inflammatory process. In other words, it's inflammation in the arteries. It's like a pimple. And you've seen a pimple pop on your face.
Right.
It does that inside your artery. What's inside that pimple causes the blood clot. And there's an interesting phenomenon. Exercise is cardioprotective. There's no question about it. For instance, there was a study published 2 months ago that showed that exercise was as good as the most commonly prescribed drug now, statin,
mm-hmm.
at preventing heart disease, and it was independent of it. However, if you don't couple that with a good diet and lifestyle, meaning don't smoke and try and be closer to ideal body weight, exercise is modestly offsetting. You need to do all of those things. And if you do watch your weight, if you do eat a healthier diet, you get lots of vegetables and fruits and keep your saturated fats down, and you exercise regularly, which is more important than binge exercising,
mm-hmm.
You can reduce your risk up to 80%. So,
that's huge.
It's all good news, you know.
That's huge. Are heart attacks more prevalent in men than women? We hear so much about men having heart attack, but I hear it's a little bit worse than we think in females.
No, you know, heart attacks are the number one killer of women. 5 times as many women die each year of heart attacks as breast cancer. And what's interesting is that women are less likely to call 911. They're symptom complex. They don't have the classic clutch your chest and your left arm pain. They frequently have flu-like symptoms, and they're more likely to ignore it. If they do have a heart attack, they're twice as likely to die, If they survive a heart attack, they're twice as likely to be disabled. So it's really important to identify them. They tend to have a risk a little bit later than men. For men, once you get over the age of 45, your risk starts going up pretty significantly. With women, it's closer to 55. And so having a way to identify these people that are at risk, as I said earlier, just looking at cholesterol and lipids in the blood is not going to tell you the story. And if you don't mind me talking about a little science for a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm actually on the faculty at the University of Southern California, the Keck School of Medicine, and my partners are from Stanford University. We spent 15 years studying soft plaque and discovered seven proteins that predict the risk of having plaque rupture. They're inflammatory proteins. So there currently is a blood test that's available that can identify you are being at risk up to 5 years ahead of an event, giving you plenty of time to do something about it.
Well, Dr. Harrington, I would like to ask you to stop there because we are going to do that in another segment. And we're going to talk about your blood test and all of those proteins. And so, but I wanted to ask you what you thought of CRP as a predictor.
Well, CRP was allowed to participate in our studies, and it was not strong enough to make it into the algorithms. It's an inflammatory acute phase reactant that's produced in the liver. But what you really want to do is find those proteins that are actually coming from the soft plaque inflammation and something more specific. So CRP is not a bad test, but it doesn't work in women. And its predictive capability is very weak relative to these other biomarkers that have been discovered.
It's vague. What's your opinion on nutritional supplements? Fish oil, coenzyme Q10, alpha-lipoic acid? We hear so much about heart-healthy supplements. Is there one that you like?
Well, yes. There have been studies that suggest that fish oils are not beneficial, which I discount because they're meta-studies. There have been individual studies that show they're beneficial. The most beneficial thing you can do is to eat wild-caught fish twice a week, because there are other compounds in the fish that we don't know about yet that are cardioprotective. And if you're on a statin, statins deplete CoQ10 in your body. And so I think there's nothing wrong with those. The ideal would be to find supplements that increase a compound in your body called glutathione. Right. And there is a compound called ribosine, which is over-the-counter, and you can just Google that and find out where you might obtain it. It boosts glutathione in the body, which is the most powerful antioxidant in your body. It is required for metabolism. It's consumed greatly in the heart and the brain, and it's the master antioxidant. Your other vitamins need it to recycle, like vitamin C doesn't work without it. Mm-hmm. It's the reason people die from Tylenol poisoning. It depletes glutathione in your liver, so your listeners can Google glutathione and ribosine, which is spelled R-I-B-O-C-E-I-N-E. That's a generic name for the compound, and it was discovered at the University of Minnesota. And so I'm not averse to those. You know, there are people that refuse to take statins, and in those situations, we work very heavily with diet, exercise, and some nutritional supplements like red yeast and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, red rice yeast is good. But you brought a good thing up that I want to make sure listeners hear, is that fish contain components that men don't know about and haven't bottled. So to go to the source, go to the actual fish, because it's not the oil, it's other enzymes and amino acids and vitamins in that fish that benefit the heart too.
Well, and that's what the great information is we want to try and eat them rather than get them. But if you have to get them, then you can get them in supplements. And thank you so much, Dr. Harrington, for all of this great information. To learn more on how to keep your heart healthy, go to www.avere.com. Don't go away, because Dr. Harrington is going to be returning, and we're going to talk about a new incredible blood test that can detect if you have a heart attack in the future. And that's what it's all about here at To Your Good Health Radio. I'm Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman. As always, listen anytime, on demand or on the go. Stay tuned.